Let's give thanks to the Lord for these gifts and also call upon Him for His blessing on the ministry of His Word in it, as it is read and preached. Lord God, we thank You that You have provided so graciously for us. And so we bring to You these gifts as a declaration of our love for You and of the tribute we owe to You for the great grace You have shown to us. No, it doesn't pay You back for what You have done to us, or for us. But it shows, Father, our desire to honor You. And so we pray that You would receive these gifts and use them for the advancement of Your kingdom. We do especially thank You for moving Your people to give so generously concerning that family up in State College, Pennsylvania. May those funds be used to bless them mightily. And now as we look toward the reading and the preaching of Your Word, we pray that You would indeed pour out Your Spirit on us to give us the understanding that we ought to have in it. For we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Is there anything that has happened during the past week that has compelled you to say, wow, that really shows us that the Lord is God? Maybe as you think back over the week, now that I've asked you that question, you can think of some things. Maybe you'll be able to think of a little more this week when Dorian goes wherever Dorian will go. And it's usually in those massive kinds of events that we tend to think in those terms as to how this is the work of God. He has done what He said He would do. But as I think of various events that have happened, especially over the last couple of decades. We think of what happened on September 11th, 2001. Katrina. And then there was Sandy that affected us much more. Perhaps there was an uptick in the number of people who attended church the next Lord's Day. And maybe the one after that, but it fell off quickly, didn't it? Do people really recognize the hand of God in these things? Do you recognize the hand of God? And how will those outside of Christ recognize the hand of God if we cannot recognize the hand of God and be able to declare that He is God? There is this phrase that we just read in Ezekiel chapter 32. They will know that I am the Lord. A couple of months ago, as I was reading through the scriptures and it came to the book of Ezekiel, I came to that phrase, and you find it especially in the 30s of Ezekiel. And they will know that I am the Lord. And they will know that I am the Lord. And they will know that I am the Lord. And as I kept getting hit with that same statement, I began to wonder, do people really recognize that He is the Lord when these things happen? How will they recognize it? It's a statement that we find around 85 to 90 times in the Old Testament. Over 70 of them are in the book of Ezekiel. A distant second is the book of Exodus. And there it's found concerning the 10 plagues. And then there, the departure of the Israelites as they left Egypt. and they came to the Red Sea. And that statement is a statement that is made by God to Moses, and they will know, in this case it will be the Egyptians will know, that I am the Lord. For our scripture lesson, we're going to read Exodus chapter 14, where we have this statement given to us twice. And it's given both times prior to the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. But God says to Moses, the Egyptians are going to know that I am the Lord. Now, how will they know? See if you can pick it out. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more again forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Once again, may God bless to us the reading of this portion of his word and teach us from it as we consider together, particularly that statement, "They will know that I am the Lord." How will they know? Because people, it seems, seldom make the connection between the events of life that they see around them and the hand of God making those, bringing those events about. And if God's people do not make that connection, how will the world make that connection? And so the pagans very seldom will make this connection between the deeds of God and the fact that he is the one who does that. Now, it's true that the insurance company will call many of these things acts of God, whether they really understand what they're saying or not. They call them acts of God when a tree falls down in a storm on your car, or when a hurricane hits the East Coast, a nor'easter destroys homes. These are acts of God. And we need to recognize them as acts of God. And again, some people may attend church after catastrophic events, at least for a short time. But at least I haven't seen much of a turning through those events from the storms that we have had while we've been here in the Northeast. There is something more that is needed than just the mere action of God. We need to recognize, of course, that we are here because he made the world and he placed us here. This is his world. It belongs to him. He has never let go of the reins of the world, but as he created it, so it is his. And even though we see the wisdom of God and the magnificent design of God in his creation, that doesn't necessarily say to us, well, the Lord is God, or we don't immediately jump to that. There are many scientists who are saying, you know, we don't think evolution is true because there's too much of wisdom in the world. This intelligent design. And so there are a lot of ways that they might think of that intelligent design might be there, and it doesn't bring them to the Lord God necessarily. That's the way it is in life. We have the works of God around us, and we need to recognize those as his works, but we also need the verbal message. We need that message to be given to us in order that we might understand these works as the works of God. How so? Well, you see, it's even though we see the works of God, that in itself does not necessarily make us connect them with God. My wife and I used to be part of a church that had a family night supper every month. One Wednesday night of the month, they would have a family night supper, and this was out in the Midwest in more of a farming community. And when we would go to that family night supper, you go over to the dessert table, there might be half a dozen pies there, and they would all be delicious. But after surveying it for about a tenth of a second, you would say, that one is the one that Sheila made. It always looked beautiful and perfect. And it tasted wonderful too. We had known about Sheila's pies. And it was wonderful to have those pies. Her banana cream pie was to write home about. I haven't had one in a long time. Now suppose you showed up at family night supper at that church. You had not heard about Sheila. You didn't know anything else about that congregation. You'd look at the pies and say, wow, that one really looks spectacular. You might even say, I wonder who made it. You wouldn't know. If, however, after I have told you about Sheila's pies, you go to that church and you say, look at that pie. It just stands out from all the rest of them. That's got to be Sheila's pie. Excuse me, who made this pie? Would you raise your hand? And as soon as that hand would go up, you'd say, hi, Sheila. And she'd say, how do you know me? By your pie. I've heard about your pies. When God says, and they shall know that I am the Lord, it's because He has told them what He will do, and then He has done it. Not the other way around. It's not that He worked and then said, okay, that was me doing that work. People would be skeptical under those situations. But to be able to say ahead of time, this is what's going to happen, this is what I will do, and they will know that I am the Lord. Then you see, you know that He is able to do what He says He will do. And it's not just that He's making it up afterwards. When God sends out His messengers, He gives a message so that people will know that He is God. If you look back at the 10 plagues earlier in the book of Exodus, beginning in chapter 7, God says to Moses, you tell Pharaoh that you're going to strike the Nile River and it's going to turn to blood. And so he does it, and that turns to blood. He tells Pharaoh, look, let my people go, or there are going to be frogs all over the place in your ovens, in your kneading bowls, in your beds, everywhere. Some little kids in a class were told about frogs being everywhere, and they thought that was a great idea, until they realized just how profuse those frogs would be. And it happened. Now, you come to the third plague, and the Lord just says to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice. There's no message. But you see, what's happened in the previous plagues has let Pharaoh know that when something catastrophic happens, he's got to be able to connect it with the Lord. The fourth plague, again, he lets him know ahead of time, this is what's going to happen. And so it is, a number of the plagues. But every once in a while, there's one where he doesn't let him know ahead of time what's going to happen. But when something catastrophic happens, they should know, yes, this is the hand of God. He has done it. Now, most of us, I think, would say, if we got through plague number 9, and then we're told, unless you have the blood of a lamb on the doorposts of your house and on the lintel, your firstborn's going to die. Most of us, I think, would say, I don't think I want to take my chance on this one. From what I have seen God say and then do, there's a good chance he's going to do it. And Pharaoh still doesn't submit. He has given the message. And even though he doesn't submit, Pharaoh knows one thing. He knows that the Lord is God. That's been declared to him so mightily by the message, followed by the action, so that he's able to say, yep, the Lord is God. I can't deny it. So it is that in Ezekiel, the nations were given the prophetic word, and we read of one of those situations. One out of many, as I've noted, many situations where they were given the prophetic word. And then God says, when I carry that out, they will know that I am the Lord. So that when you see my works, you will know that I'm the Lord. And Jesus acted this way as well. He gave the message first and then did the action. Remember that man that was let down through the roof? The paralytic. And he says, son, your sins are forgiven you. And of course, people are thinking to themselves, wait a minute. Who does he think he is to forgive sins? Only God can do that. And so Jesus said, well, so that you will know that I am God, just as you're thinking about, rise up and walk. There was the message that says, I'm declaring myself to be God. And there is the action that says, I am God. They could not deny it. Well, we still need to give the verbal message, don't we? Whether it's written or oral, it is a message that needs to be given. And he gave you his Bible so that you would know him, so that you would use it, that you would read it and study it. Have you read through the whole Bible? First seminary class, the professor said, and this was a quarter system, he said, the first quarter went from about right now to before Thanksgiving. He said, you will read the Bible through this quarter. Okay? Well, I got that done before Thanksgiving and went into class right after Thanksgiving. You will read the Bible through this quarter. And that was a standard assignment that was given to us. Because it's that important for us to know the message, to hear what God himself has to say, so that then as he carries out what he says he will do, we're able to say, I know that the Lord is God. God is at work in all of history. A favorite verse of many is Romans 8:28, where God says, I cause all things together to work together for good to those who love me. Or there's Lamentations 3:38 where the prophet says, is it not from the hand of the Lord that both good and ill go forth? That he does these things, he accomplishes these things for his own name's sake. And then in Matthew chapter 24 we have that great Olivet discourse where he says to his disciples, look, here's what's going to happen. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There are going to be earthquakes and all sorts of other things. Things like hurricanes. And he brings them about. So that you will be able to say, I know that the Lord is God. And so he also sent out his witnesses. As he said to his disciples, you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And he continues to send out his witnesses who will be able to testify to his name, to his glory, to his word, so that when he accomplishes his works, we're able to make the connection and others are able to make the connection as well. And so it is that you and I are to make this connection between God's word and his works. And if we can't do that, then how are we to expect the world to be able to do it? Even such a simple thing as, isn't it a lovely day that the Lord has given to us? So that you recognize and confess that this is God's hand to give us this time. Now, having said that, there are some prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. The prophetic word has not all been fulfilled. Jesus, in John's gospel account in chapter 5, looking at verse 28, Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice." I don't think that's happened yet. "They will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." There's the warning that Jesus gave us. There's the word that He gave us so that we could know what He says is going to happen, so that when it takes place, we'll be ready. Are you ready? You know that that day of judgment is coming. You don't know when it is. I don't know when it is. But it is the Word of God. And when He declares His word, He fulfills it in His own timing. He fulfills His promises, and He has warned you about this. So that if you, like Pharaoh, do not take the warning, so that you would be covered by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, then who do you have to blame but yourself? You will know the Lord. Even those who reject Him will know that the Lord is God. Remember, as Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, and he's quoting from the Old Testament a portion of this. Therefore, this is beginning with verse 9, Philippians 2, 9. "Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Just as Pharaoh had to be brought to make that confession, though he hated it, he knows that the Lord is God. And you are to know that same message, that He is God, as you have seen Him fulfill His works. So as that is something that every tongue is to confess and every knee is to bow to the Lord, let it be joy to make that confession. Let it be joy to make that confession by confessing Him now. Continue looking in the Word, hearing what the Word of God says, but also be able to see the events of life from the hand of God. When we were looking for a house, we found one that we thought would be great for us. And as we looked a little more into that house, I don't like the smell of tobacco smoke that is in this house. We would have to paint the walls and change the carpet before we could buy this house. A little help here. Thank you. Let's go on. Let me finish the illustration. We were thinking about this house, thinking that it would be wonderful, but we'd have to change the carpets and paint the walls. And I noticed that the house had gone off the market. So I called the realtor and asked, "So what's going on?" And he checked with the agent for that house and got back to me and said, "Well, it was off the market because it wasn't selling. They decided that they would paint the walls and change all the carpets." Now, we were only going to have about a 2 or 3 hour window to do all that. But we were able to see the hand of the Lord in it, even though the realtor didn't see it that way. We have to help people to see the connection between the works of God and His Word, and so to bow before Him. The Son of God is the creator of the universe, and that's an incredible work. And His continuing works continue to declare Him to you. May you indeed trust Him. He told the Pharisees that they needed to make this very connection in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, in verses 37 and 38. "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Make the connection. Let's bow before him. Father in heaven, we thank you that your works are accompanied by your word, and that together they show us that you are the Lord. Make us aware of this, to delight in you, to rejoice in you daily. May your hand of blessing be upon each one of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.